Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go again. Another week. Got a lot of things to talk about. All things sports this week, I believe, gentlemen. No other Gaga involved. So we brought on for the second time, two-time appearance by our buddy Keith, fantasy hockey winner, and a real good guy. So we'd like to welcome him back to the show, and we're off and running. So just before we get going, I want to mention store, 15% off this week. Get there, get some stuff, buy some swag. Don't be cheap, right, Ed?
That's right. Don't be cheap. Buy my right. shirt, by the way.
There you go. So with that being said, Ed, take it away.
All right, here we are. Everybody's favorite part, it's the email time. It's brought to you by GoonGuard. GoonGuard.com. Check them out. I love them. Great mouth pictures. Check out Andy. I got them right here. Good stuff. So this is an email from Robert from Campbell River, British Columbia. Hello, gents. As someone who has always wanted to start a podcast, what's the best thing about doing it? I would like to start. I would like to know if it's changed your opinion since you started. Sorry. Anybody want to take that?
Well, hey, Keith, I want to ask you, what's it like for you coming on the podcast?
Yeah, it's great, man. It's like, you know, get to talk to some old buddies and talk hockey, man, right? Like, never get enough of that. So I enjoy it. It's fun. And great bunch of guys. So I enjoy it.
All right. Thomas, what's your opinion on the podcast from the beginning till now?
Well, I started out, I was in it for the money, but that didn't work out. So, no. But serious, you know what? As you get older, you kind of, your friendships, everybody has their own things going on, so you don't see each other for a while. So it started out just the three of us, me, you, and Ed, hanging out. And then by the grace of God, I've gotten to meet Chris and Brad and his craziness. And you know what? It's all working out. I mean, it's fun.
Chris, now, what's your opinion on when you started and you first came on till doing it now and being more regular with it than when you started?
Yeah, first, thanks for the email, Robert. Yeah, I mean, when I first came on, you know, I didn't think I was going to be on every week, you know. Yeah, I liked it, obviously. For me, I look at it as like, it's an outlet, you know what I mean? I'm stuck home all the time, doing the same shit, work, stuff around the house, back to work, you know. Yes, I love being with my family, but this is a good little 1 hour that I get to hang out with the guys, you know, just like Tom said, new guys. I met three new guys, which is awesome. We've been friends for a while, so like, it's just good to touch base, even if it's for an hour. We have good laughs, then we watch the shit over and we look like a bunch of idiots, and it's even funnier the second time around, you know. So that's the best part about it for me, man.
The question I have, Chris, too, for you is, how was it sitting in like the first time that you got to do an interview with us with Joe?
Yeah, that was great. I actually appreciate you bringing me along, you know. I always like to be prepared. So, like, yeah, I studied up a lot on him, try to make sure I ask some good questions, you know. I want to be involved. I'm all in, you know that. I'm all in. I'm doing this. I'm having fun. And I want to make sure I can do my best to provide good content for whoever's watching. So
now I'm going to kick it to Bradford. Bradford, take a drink. Get some thoughts. Clear the mind. And what's your thoughts from like the first time that you came on when Ed gave you the pregame to get you to come on versus being on quite a bit?
Well, the first episode, I was nervous as crap. I was like, man, I don't know these guys. I don't know if we're gonna even get along or if like we're even gonna vibe. And then you had on a Max Sabbath shirt, and I was like, I'm in the right spot. But yeah, it's just fun. It's definitely, don't get mad at me, Andy, but it's more work than I thought it was going to be. And I say that knowing you literally do all the work. Just coordinating everyone's schedules and then trying to, you know, make time around families. And we all got family, sports, work, you name it. And then trying to get it all into one little package for the weekend so we can get together for 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half or whatever, you know, it's challenging. But we all make it work in our own little way, and you know, it's fun. It's a blast. I enjoy it.
Before I give my two cents, I want to kick it to Ed. start till now, what's your take on it? And should anybody give a chance at giving the podcast a try?
Oh, sure. I think it's great. I mean, like Tom said, it, you know, this started with you, me, and Tom. And it's kind of grown. It's nice that we added Brad and Chris, and you know, the Phantom has come on. You know, so it's nice to see Keith after 20 years. Good to see you, brother. You know, it's definitely certainly has changed quite a bit. It's definitely one of those things where at first it was just kind of like sitting there, like, okay, let's just talk. And then, you know, like Brad said, there's a little bit more prep goes into it now than what it used to. But it's great just to kind of piggyback on what Chris said. It's nice to see, know that, hey, look, there's an hour blocked off of my week where I get to see my buddies. And that's, I couldn't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, I think if anybody wants to start a podcast, start it with people that you want to talk to. Don't start it with anybody that you can't, or talk freely, or hold stuff back, or somebody's going to get butt hurt, or their feelings are going to get hurt. It's no fun like that. You gotta have that locker room banter. That's how it is. You gotta find like-minded individuals, guys that you would play sports with, and kind of grow it from there. The reason I wanted to do it was just to keep in touch with everybody. And now that everybody lives all over the country, I mean, look at who we've had on. We've had Darren on, we've had Scotty on, we've had Dennis on, we've had Keith on, we've had, well, who am I missing? We've had the Phantom on, we've had...
Phantom Son.
Yep. Son of the Phantom. Who else have we had? We had Nikki on, trying to get her back on for hockey season. More to come. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing some people's great guests we've had.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget, like, Joe Lyons. I mean, don't forget Knuckles Nelson. He's come on twice. Actually, yep. Have, like, a legit professional wrestler that actually walked the walk on it. You know, it's been pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, we've had business owners. We had Roger from Purchase Street. So, you know, I think it's grown so much in that first year, and I think the hottest part is behind us. And it's just a matter of showing up every week and just trying to, you know, bring new people and get new eyes on it and kind of pay homage to the people that have been with us the whole way and kind of, you know, just grow it from there and keep doing what we're doing. That's what I hear all the time from people, the feedback I get, is just keep, you know, showing up, putting out a new episode every week and kind of grinding away. So if the original question, should you start a podcast? Yeah, but just start it with the right people. Even if it's you and one other person, or you and then it'll be two, then it'll be three. Then you'll have a whole cast of characters that you can tap into and just go from there. But great email. I thought that was a good one. So let's move on. Let's start talking what Brad missed last week. Thomas, got to bring this guy up to speed with some NHL. Let's go.
Hey, Brad, you know, we need your predictions.
Yeah, we'll do it. When we get to each playoff thing, we'll have Brad do his pick.
All right.
So okay. Who are we starting with? Are we starting with the obvious?
Absolutely.
Are we starting with the obvious?
Our Boston Bruins.
Oh, jeez.
Against the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a 2-1 series right now. Before we start talking about it, I'm just going to get Brad's pick. So I don't want to influence him any, so I want to get his pick.
Yep.
Watch it, Brad.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
First of all, it's pronounced Boston Bruins, right? That's my pick. Did I say it right?
Yep. What gave it away? The logo, and then Chris in back of the covering the Leafs with his massive cranium over there.
So, I was getting a Chris, SmackDown the wrestling update from the kiddo.
Let's talk about the series. All right. The series is looking like they shouldn't have did anything that I said, going back and forth to goalies. All right. Swayman is looking real good in net. Allmark was looking a little soft. Not only that, Swayman is now 4-0 against the Maple Leafs this year, or 5-0. 5-0 against the Maple Leafs. Yep. So, you know, now I'm going to completely throw my shit out the window and just say, let's go with Swayman for this series. Then we can go back to the back and forth. But no, I'm liking it. It's a little dicey. I'm seeing things out of Toronto that I you know, I guess with Domi and other little dirty hits and fight back, which I like. They're all over Marchand, of course, which is expected. I didn't think that Toronto was gonna hold on with the whole, you know, tough guy scenario, but it's looking like a good series. I feel like it's gonna go seven now at this point. You know, it's looking good though.
Keith, I gotta ask you, where is William Nylander in the series?
That's a great question, and a lot of questions, right? Why was he playing in Game 82? Why was he playing in Game 81? I mean, what are we doing here, right? So, where is he? Nobody knows. Is he got? I've heard concussion. I've heard a lot of different things. I don't know. Where is he? He's a big, big difference maker when he's there. However, is it equate to the playoffs though, right? Is he that guy that's going to be, I mean, he did okay last year. Can he play that game that the Bruins are going to play, which is a heavy game, right? So I don't know. My question is not where's William Nylander, where's Mitch Marner?
Awful. That's
the question. Cause he's in the lineup, and where is he?
Awful.
Yeah.
Thomas.
He's dodging. Dodged a hit the other day, trying to avoid taking a hit. And you know, it's not a great look. I'm not.
Nope.
He's going to have to. I mean, I know it's playoffs. Not everybody's tough. Not everybody's physical. But you got to do it. You got to block shots. You got to get in there. You got to play that grinder game. And if you don't, there's no time and space. So, question. I don't know. They need those guys if they're going to win.
Yeah, it's been a good series. I've been impressed with the physicality. I mean, it's been a really physical series, and unfortunately I think the loss of Peak will hurt the Bruins a little bit in the long run, because he was playing really good stay at home. He's the true stay at home defenseman. And I just think the story of the Toronto's carried a lot of the play, but the story is Samsonov is mentally, he's not there. He's just one of those goalies that you just got to keep peppering him, because he lets in one or two shaky goals a game. I mean, he to me, that's going to be the difference in the series. I took Toronto in seven, trying to use my reverse mojo, but I don't think I'm going to need it. I think if Swayman can keep playing the way he's doing and Montgomery doesn't overthink things, I think the Bruins will win the series.
Hey, before I kick it to Ed, I don't want to hear any bitching from the Toronto fans about the calls, because they had five power plays.
Mm-hmm.
Bruins had three. They didn't score at all on the power play, and the Bruins had two goals on the power play. So I don't want to hear any squawking from any Toronto fans after they had plenty of calls. So we'll see tomorrow night. I don't like that day of rest either. They should be playing tonight. I think it should be always a grind, but I know why they're doing it. Hockey Night in Canada, Saturday night. Plus, Bob Cole passed away, the voice of Hockey Night in Canada. So they're going to make a big deal out of that, too. So, Ed, thoughts on the series before we move on?
I love it. It's playoff hockey. It's exactly the way that it's supposed to be. Guys special tripping teams. Each other, hits after the play, hits behind the play. That's what hockey is all about in the playoffs. How much can you take? Can you stay in there? Can you take the grind? You know, and the thing about it is just that, you know, Andy brought up a great point. They brought that up the other day on the NHL Network, which I have now, by the way, because I'm finally coming into the 21st century. Anyway, but hey, thank you. You know, it's taken a while. But I will say that it's just a good physical series. And, you know, I mean, and I thought that the coach for the Maple Leafs, I thought he did it. That was a really nice way to kind of take the heat off of his team by calling out Marchand and that type of thing. But I mean, you know, the bottom line is that the Bruins are the better team right now, because they're the ones that are up on the scoreboard. So that's my take on that series.
Thomas, let's great. Go. Next series.
All right, Brad, the New York Rangers versus the Washington Capitals. Who you got?
Not those Rangers. I'll take the Capitals.
Oh, should have probably told you that before the thing, but they haven't won a game yet in the series.
Son of a bitch, Tom.
Yeah.
You got to tell me the series.
No way. I can't lead you anywhere.
I like it. It's going to make for good laughs. Let it go.
Hey, let me start with that one and say, Matt Rempe, huh? What a story. Talk about my call on Washington was they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. Detroit would have given a better run. Even Philly would have given them a better shot than that. They backed into the playoffs. They're too old. The Caps are when Panarin's throwing hits, you know that Washington's too old. They shouldn't even be in the playoffs. Keith, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's It's the Hershey Bears versus the New York Rangers. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
That's all I got. That's all I got on that one. I mean, it's the Rangers are too good, and you know, Washington.
Yep. Chris,
I feel bad for Ovi. I mean, he's had a great career. He just looks a step behind in the playoffs. I think he's dash one already tonight. So it's just not good. Not good. Not a good look.
Yeah, solid minus one. Let's go.
The old dash one.
Yep. Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, it's 3-1 right now in the third period. Rangers, they're going to go up 3-0 in the series. One more. Time to go golfing. Hovey.
Brad still says it's going seven.
I couldn't have been more wildly off than I was on this one, fellas.
That's all right.
I'm sure Ovi's looking to pack it in and go for that goals record next year, possibly.
Right? Yeah, that seems like the only thing he's got going for him right now. So, Ed, thoughts on the series?
I mean, I agree with you guys. The Caps look old. Just watch it right now. You know, they did have a nice little flurry right there, but the Rangers are just carrying the play, and they're that much better. And I agree with you guys, they're back to the playoffs. But it's good to see Ovi out there, you know, the twilight of his career. But, you know, I'll agree with you, Keith, man. He's looking a step behind.
Yeah.
Especially when the coach calls you out. That's telling you something right there.
Yes,
Thomas, thoughts on that series?
Yeah, I just think they're being outclassed. I mean, it's just – it'd be – I think it's been what – four. They've given up like four goals a game. I think if Charlie Lindgren wasn't a net, it would be even worse. I mean, he's actually played halfway decent. It's just they just peppering him so much. I think Shesterkin's hitting the stride at the right time. They just played it perfectly with Quick, and he's got enough rest where he's fresh going into these playoffs. I think that's going to be key going forward.
What do you got for the next series?
Next series, Carolina Panthers versus the New York Islanders. Brad.
Carolina Hurricanes.
Ooh, I've heard of them. I'm going to pick the Hurricanes. That's a good pick.
Yes. I'm gonna say that's a good pick, Phil.
I'm gonna agree with all. That's a good pick, Brad.
Chris, thoughts on that series?
Yeah, I mean, this whole East is looking pretty one-sided. The only close series right now is the Bruins Toronto, right? You look over to the West, everybody's 1-1-1. So a little more excitement out West, except for the Vegas Dallas series, which I'm totally shocked at. But yeah, Carolina. Jesus, easy. This is done.
Keith, thoughts on that series?
Yeah, I mean, Carolina got handed a ticket to the second round, right? I mean, it's boring. How about that? It's not even watchable. I mean, I think the other day when the Islanders were winning, I think it was they were up like the 3-0 or whatever.
Yep.
I think the attempted shots on net were like 100-22 or something like that. It was insane. Even though the score, I mean, they came back and won anyway, but they're playing with it's child's play.
Yeah, and they were even throwing the goalie under the bus.
Yeah.
Saying that, well, they locked him up for all kinds of money, and is he the real deal? And you know how that goes. We've heard that that chime before when people are in the, you know, got the sump pump on in the basement and they're taking on water. Who do you blame all the time? You blame the goaltending. So, Ed, thoughts on that series?
I really haven't watched too much about it, but I did watch a little bit of that 4-3 game. And, you know, basically that just took all the wind out of the sails for the Islanders, man. And they're done, you know. And the thing about it is the whole thing about blaming the goalie. You know, you never hear the coaches blame the two defensemen. You never hear that. You never hear coaches blame the defenseman. You always hear the coaches blame the goalie. Right? You know, I always find that interesting.
Well, speaking of blaming the goalie, let's ask Tom what he thinks on this series.
Patrick Awad, I mean, not that Islanders were going to win, but Patrick Awad totally screwed up the thing the other night when he benched, what's his name there, Varlamov, and started Sorokin. And then he ends up benching the other guy and throwing, I mean, it just screwed up everything, that any confidence that either goalie had was out the window right there. So, I mean, I don't think they were winning the series anyway, but I thought it was going to be a little bit better series than it was. But Carolina and the Rangers, that's going to be a really good series next round.
Yep. Let's talk Tampa Bay and Florida.
All right, Brad, Tampa Bay Panthers, Tampa Bay, I'm losing my shit tonight. Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Florida Panthers.
What's in that bottle, Thomas?
Nothing. I don't have anything here tonight.
The The Lightning. I'm gonna go with that one. I've heard of them. I feel like that's a good pick. I've heard good things about the Lightning. So I'm gonna go Tampa Bay, Florida Lightning.
Okay, to yin to the yang. Chris is laughing, so take it away, Chris.
This is like reminding me of you doing your football picks all season, Andy. Sorry, Brad. Yeah, Florida's just that
great. I think at this point I'm doing better than Brad, though, with my football picks.
Florida's just that grinding team. They're tough. They're gritty. They're dirty. They're going to play every inch of the ice. They're looking good. I can't wait to revenge their ass next series and kick the living shit out of them. Yeah, here we go.
Let me go to somebody that knows more about hockey. Keith, want to take your thoughts on that series?
Yeah, okay. So we know Tampa's done, right? Tampa's done. They're out.
What?
Yeah, it's over. I mean, it's over. Sorry, spoiler, I don't want to break this deal, but it's over. It's over. Carter Verhaeghe, that's all I got to say. Guys, right?
Yeah.
As far as the next series, I'm not talking about it.
Okay, all right.
About it, but Florida will be playing somebody. I'm not touching that one.
Okay.
I don't know. Florida's tough, man. They Bobrovsky seems to stand up every playoff, right? He's bored with the regular season, collects his 10 schmil, puts it in the bank, and shows up for playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you got those guys. You mentioned it, Dress, right? You got Bennett and Reinhardt and they're just absolute cousins and absolute just ass out there, right? Like they just got guys that are just Kachuk. Forget. I mean, if you don't like that guy, then you don't like hockey. But it's yeah, I think Florida's gonna make a deep run. Unfortunately,
I think what the greatest thing about that team is it seems like everybody's on the same page. It's almost like a pack that, you know, they don't let anybody screw around with anybody else. Guys play bigger than they usually would with, you know, backup on that team. It seems like everybody doesn't give any bit of the ice that they don't have to. And, you know, they even take stuff after the whistle, like at the end of a period, at the end of the game, if they're losing, you know, they pull the Shoresy where they, you know, they hate to lose. And you got to love that in the playoffs. Ed, thoughts on that series?
Well, first and foremost, they're killing my pick. Anyway, other than that, I mean, but I will say that, man, Florida looks great. I mean, they are not giving Tampa much room to skate. They are putting body on body. They are not. They're playing hockey the way it's supposed to be played in the playoffs. And to piggyback on what you said, Andy, is that they hate to lose, and you can see it the way that they play. I mean, they finish their checks, they back check, and really, very rarely is anybody ever really out of position when it comes to, you know, they stay in their lanes, they pass, they do what they're supposed to do, and that's winning hockey, especially in the playoffs.
Nobody talks about their defense. Does anybody ever talk about their back end?
No, never. Never.
Never.
Their defense is solid.
That's it.
Solid.
Great defense. Absolutely.
Thomas, thoughts on the series?
It's been a physical series. I mean, the teams, I believe they set a record last game for hits in a game. They had 149 hits combined between the two teams. But I think it may start catching up with Florida because they've already – Bennett's out now with an injury. Lundell is banged up. So, I mean, that physical style just wears on you the longer you go in the playoffs. So it could catch up to him eventually, but it's not going to catch up to him in this series. I'm shocked that they've won. I thought it would go seven games. I mean, I'm shocked at how the series has gone so far.
Tom, before we move on from that series, is Stamkos gone?
I don't think so. I think they'll sign him. I think he's a lifer.
A little old, though. That team's getting a little old.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I think their time has passed, I'll be honest with you. I don't think – there's just too many good teams in the East now.
Next series.
We're going to the Western Conference. Nashville Predators versus the Vancouver Canucks. Brad.
Ooh. I used to live close to Nashville. And I've been to the arena where the Predators play.
It's called Smashville, Brad.
It is. Went to the Johnny Cash Museum. Highly recommend. Saw monster trucks there, but never the Preds play hockey. I saw everything there. I think I even saw bubble guppies on ice there. But I'm not going Nashville.
All right.
Okay, after that, I got to always kick it to Chris because you are going to bring us out of the depths of hockey hell.
No spoilers.
Let's go, Chris.
Chris.
You got your microphone
on. What's up,
on.
Brother?
Well, when he made his pick, I hit my head on my microphone and I muted it.
I left him speechless.
Wow, it's not, Chris, it's not a rest area. Come on now.
I know. Vancouver, no, it's something else. Vancouver's got way too much firepower. Demko in that is just, hopefully, with him getting hurt, I don't know what's the deal with that, but we'll see. They're still going to pull it out either way, with or without Demko.
All right, let's go to somebody that knows hockey. Go ahead, Keith. Bring us home. Roll for two here.
Okay, so I've been down to Nashville several times. I was down there a few weeks ago when we saw our game. And now I didn't see the Bubble Guppies on ice, but I did see the Nashville.
You're missing
Guppies.
Out.
And I got to tell you, man, that building is electric. That place is unbelievable. I mean, it's one of the best places to see a game. Unreal. I am all in on Nashville. I would have had Vancouver. After Demko got hurt, I'm out. I'm all in on Nashville. They're a sneaky good team. They got some guys that nobody really knows. I'm all in. However, tonight in Nashville, they're down 2-0.
At the end of the second period.
The two periods are over. Vancouver only has 8 shots on net. Mm. So where's that firepower? Elias Pettersson, where have you gone? Besser, where have you gone? They've disappeared. Quinn Hughes.
It's pretty bad when the toughest guy on that team is the coach.
Well, that's true. And you know what? I know. That's crazy. You're right. And the other night, they blocked 5 shots the other night. Who blocks 5 shots in the playoffs? You got to have guys that block 5 shots. Every guy's going to block 5 shots. I like Vancouver. I like their team. They got an Ohio guy on their team, Miller. I'm all in on Nashville. Sorry, guys. And we got this local kid from here that grew up playing here, and he's on Nashville, Sherwood. So got to pull for Preds.
All right, Ed, what do you got?
Oh, man, I haven't watched any of these games, man, to be honest with you. So I'm going to.
Me either, Ed.
I'm past my bedtime, bro.
you're in Brad territory when you make statements like that. Thomas, man, come on now. What do you got?
It's been a great series. I mean, I'm still sticking with Vancouver, but the injury to Demko, they're listing him as week to week, so doesn't sound good. And they almost lost. I don't know if you saw the game, any of the game tonight, but the backup, Casey DeSmith, got run over by one of the guys for the Preds. He did it on purpose behind the net, knocked him down and started a little ruckus. And lucky he didn't get hurt there. So I don't know who their third string guy would be. So they're on shaky ground, but I think it could light a fire under Vancouver. I mean, they've only got 8 shots, but they are winning 2-0. So
I couldn't see Vancouver making it all the way to the finals and then facing like a team like the Panthers. That'd be an absolute ass kicking.
Yep.
Go ahead.
All right. Next series, Colorado Avalanche against the Winnipeg Jets. Brad.
I don't even know what a Winnipeg is. So I'm going to go with Colorado.
All right.
I don't know.
All right, Chris. Here
Take
we go.
Take it to the
well,
bank.
Your statement was you came on this podcast to talk hockey, so we're waiting.
Yeah, Colorado's taking this. They're playing well. That new Chuchuskin dude, he's just been tearing it up all season.
Exactly.
He's going to continue it through the playoffs. It's I haven't seen much of this series just because of how late these damn games are, but looking forward to catching one this weekend, definitely.
All right, Keith, what do you got?
I got the unicorn, Cale Makar. He can skate, he can shoot, he can hit, he blocks shots. What can he do? That's it. You mentioned Nichukin. You get Nichukin. I can never say his name. I just know he's huge. He's a mad Russian. So you got him out there just laying waste. You got McKinnon. You got all those guys, but it's Makar. He's the guy that drives that team. And they're too deep. Their goaltending's absolutely horrific. So they're going to have to score about 8 goals a game, but they can do it. They can do
it. That's it. That's Colorado in a nutshell. Ed, at one time, one of your many favorite teams was the Colorado Avalanche, the rotating The rotating favorite team of yours.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I have, it depends on kind of like, you know, what TV station I watch all the time, you know? Anyway. So anyway, no, I mean, I think Sirius Tide is 1-1. But Colorado, to piggyback on what Keith said, they just look faster. They look stronger. They just look like they're the better team. And Winnipeg just looks like they're kind of happy to hang on.
Very good statement. Professor, thoughts on that series?
Oh, the goaltending by both teams has been horrible, but Colorado was my pick to go to the finals, and they're not going to, if Georgiev doesn't pick up his game, they're not going to beat Vegas or whoever they end up playing. I mean, it's a little scary now that they're going to have to lean on their offense so much. And if they play a team that, like say Nashville, would even scare me with Nashville gets a one goal lead and they just shut down and they almost go to that old New Jersey Devil style where they just close up shop. It's boring to watch, but it's effective. But I think it's going to go probably six games, but the Jets, they're guys that they picked up at the deadline that are usual playoff guys like Toffoli. They haven't done anything in this series so far. So, I mean, if they're going to do anything else in this series, they need those guys to pick it up.
Then on the Jets have been known to have a poor locker room atmosphere. So, you know, even though somebody is a playoff guy, they could get in that locker room and be like, oh boy, what did I get myself into? So until it changes, you know, that culture's got to change sometimes. But go ahead, Tom.
I got some good backstory. Sorry, there. I get some good backstory off here. I can get you on that. I get you the locker room backstory on that one. I can't share it here because I'd get in trouble.
Oh. Tinfoil hat time.
All right, next series. Edmonton Oilers versus the LA Kings. Brad.
Y'all keep saying names of towns and places I never even heard of. All right, I'm down here in the dirty south. I don't know what Edmonton is, okay? So who are they playing? The Oilers?
They are the Oilers.
That team. I'll pick that one. Seal it. Send it. Let's go.
All right.
Chris?
I did see a little bit of the last game. That nice overtime winner by Kopitar was great. I wasn't expecting LA to even take a game in this series, but it's interesting right now, 1-1. They do play tonight, so that should be but, yeah, Edmonton's just going to roll on through, I think, the rest of the way.
Keith, what do you got on that series?
It's all about goaltending, and LA doesn't have it. Unfortunately, you don't have the goaltending, and you're facing Dreisaitl, who continually to score from his feet behind the goal line. I don't know how he's doing this, but he's just picking pucks. You can't stop Dreisaitl. You can't stop McDavid. Hyman is just I don't know what he is. He's a half rat, half goal scorer, just in your face. Like he does.
Oma Bruin.
Yeah, there you go. And you know what? At the end of the day, Edmonton's just too good. McDavid wants it. He's going to take it. And LA, I like LA, but this Cam Talbot ain't cutting it. Or Rittich, or whoever they decide to put in net. Doesn't matter. It's over. I know it's 1-1, but it's over.
Wait, was I right on this one?
Possibly. It's 5-1-1.
It's not done yet.
Brad,
it's over. I'm calling.
Brad, the game starts right there. There's a game, I think, on tomorrow. I think you should watch it. It's pretty good, actually. You should try it. You may like it. You know, it's just like Mikey. Mike will eat anything. No, I think that Edmonton's going to take the series, and I just think that they're a stronger team, and I know absolutely nothing about the Kings because, I mean, there's not anybody – they don't market them correctly, especially being in the fifth largest media market in the country. But there's nobody on that team that you know because they don't market it correctly. But don't get me started.
Professor, want to finish that round out?
Yeah, neither goalie has been playing well. I mean, they've combined for 20 goals in two games. So, I mean, Skinner's going to have to pick his game up if they're going to do anything going forward. I mean, I still think they're going to win the series. And just a little side note, do you think the Toronto Maple Leafs could use Zach Hyman right about now? I mean, he's leading the NHL right now in goals in the playoffs with four. I mean, they could really.
How many did he have during the regular season?
50, I believe.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. For a guy that's not even supposed to be that good on that team.
Yep.
What do you got all next right. round?
Last game of the first round, Las Vegas Golden Knights versus the Dallas Stars. Brad.
You know who I'm going to pick because I'm a faithful. I know Jamie Benn plays for the Dallas Stars. That's who I'm going with. Take it to the bank. I'm going to say, I'm going to even take it a step further. They're going to win the Stanley Cup. Dallas. Dad,
I'm going to give you a little advice. Don't put any money down on these.
Nope. No advice needed, guys. Dallas winning it all.
Okay, Brad. It's been nice having you on the podcast. Chris?
Yeah, I'm shocked the way this series is going. I mean, 2-0 right now. Yeah, 2-0 for Dallas. I thought Ottinger would be, you know, lights out. He's struggling, and Vegas is pulling something out right now, and Dallas is not looking good at all.
It's called manipulating the salary cap. That's what it's called. It's called Mark Stone on long-term IR until game one of the playoffs. Keith, in that series, do you think Marchessault's done after this year? Is he going to go free agent? What do you think?
He's gone. Unless he magically gets an 82-game injury and he shows up in game one of the playoffs next year, yeah, he's gone. I mean, I don't know where you – I don't even know how you pay him. Did what, like $25 million over the cap? Probably not that much, but it seems like it. I had a future on the Stars. I love the Stars. I love the way they play. Vegas is big, strong. They just shut it. They want to shut it down. They shut it down. Goaltending's a question, but if you can't get shots, then I don't think they got a shot in the last 6 minutes of the game the other night. And actually, they don't. I mean, they haven't been that badly outplayed, but they just can't get enough pucks to the net. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, Eichel looks, he's built for the playoffs. These guys are just, they're too good. And I hate to admit it. I don't want to see Vegas do it again, but man, they look tough to beat.
They do look tough.
Hoping Dallas can still pull it out, but not looking great. Not looking
Ed, what do you got?
Going against another one of my picks. Dallas is not looking good at all, man. I thought that with their speed and the way that they could play, that they were going to take it to Vegas. But Vegas, man, they are stepping up. They're not giving them a ton of room to skate. They're all over them. The only time that I did see anything was like that big hit behind the net that the kid from the Stars did, which was great. It seemed like it was going to kind of change the whole tone of the series, and basically it did for 5 minutes. And then Vegas just got stronger again, and they just kept pounding the body and they are all over the Stars.
All right, Professor, finish it up.
Man, I tell you, I mean, it's been Dallas has played them tough, but the when they do go to the penalty box, Vegas just makes them pay for it. They're 2-for-3 on the power play. I mean, that first power play unit with just got to give the GM credit because they picked up Thomas Hertl. He's on the first power play unit. Noah Hanifin's playing out of his head right now. He's on that unit. Eichel, Mark Stone, and Stephenson. That's their first power play unit. I mean, Dallas, if they're going to have any chance, they got to stay out of the box.
Yep. And that'll finish it up for unless anybody wants to add anything before we move on from the hockey. Chris, got anything?
Good.
All right. Thomas, time for some shitty picks.
All righty. Tom's Shitty Pick is brought to you by Brock Street Brad. Brewing Company.
Brought to you by Brad this week.
Yes.
His Shitty Picks.
Brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, which is located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. The brewery is home to a banquet hall, an on-site restaurant, and a members-only lounge. Everything they brew is done in-house, including sours, lagers, and their vodka sodas. They have something for everyone, so if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the podcast sent you. All right, I'm going to go back a little ways because my picks lately, we've been going it a little bit earlier, so they haven't been finished. But 2 weeks ago, I picked Aaron Nola, and he had only pitched one game. Well, he finished out. He was phenomenal. He got 31.18 points in two starts. He one win, 16 Ks, two walks, and he only gave up 3 runs. So that was a good pick. My pick this week is still to be determined. He's doing pretty well. Adley Rutschman, he was 7-for-14 so far in 3 games. He's still got 3 games to go. 3 RBIs, 1 run, 11 fantasy points in 3 games if you go by the system I use. And for my pick this week, I'm going to go not off the board, but I'm going with Brian Reynolds, the outfielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They've got 6 games this week, 3 against Oakland and 3 against Colorado. Reynolds has started off pretty well. He's batting 270 with three homers, but I think this week he's going to add two or three homers. I think he's going to start heating up.
So let's move on and talk about something that we've been consistently talking about this season, Dark Side of the Ring. Let me start off by saying this was one of my favorite episodes this year. I thought it was really good. One of the characters in wrestling that I really, really thought never got the accolades that she deserved, Sherry Martel. Tom, want to take a little moment on that?
There was a few things that I didn't know. I mean, I didn't realize how bad of a drug problem she had, first of all. And I didn't know about the son. And so it's kind of sad because, I mean, she pretty much gave up everything to chase her wrestling dream. And it kind of blew up in her face. I mean, she did well. She got her dream. She made the Hall of Fame. But at what cost? I mean, she had no relation. She left her son when he was, what, like 3 months old and had really didn't have much to do with him. I mean, off and on throughout their his life, her life. I mean, they connected, but wasn't the same. And her drug problem was really, really out of control. But I like another thing I didn't realize she was the first person that Jim Cornette managed. So that was something I didn't really know. But she was always one of my favorites. But it's just another sad thing, like that era with how rampant the drugs were. It just shows that it wasn't just the guys and it was the girls. And it was sad the story they told about how many wrestlers showed up to her funeral wasted. And like Jake Roberts said, he doesn't remember anything about the funeral. He was so messed up.
Yeah. Brad, did you end up watching the episode?
Yeah. I mean, same thing with what Tom said, like, man, we got to do something for those old school wrestlers. They took so many, bumps to the head, and then the drug addiction and the painkillers. And it's like the same story over and over and over again. But Sherry Martel was not just a pioneer for women's wrestling. I mean, she pioneered promoting. She literally fought for women's wrestling, and I think she did it more of like what we see with modern wrestling versus like that glam, like kind of just out there, bright lights and makeup and stuff. She could really take care of herself. She could cut a promo. She could take a bump. It's really unfortunate. I feel like it's more sad watching her go down that path of drug abuse and addiction and passing away via, overdose. It's more sad seeing that than, and maybe it's because it's sentimental more because she was a mother and stuff, but versus seeing these other guys kind of doing the same thing. It's just on repeat over and over again. But yeah, there's a lot about her I didn't know. I didn't know a thing about the son I definitely believe that the guys that showed up to her funeral were wasted. Like Jake the Snake Roberts was literally wasted until MTV did that documentary on him. And then he got his life together. Also, Diamond Dallas Page helped him out. So that's the real MVP.
Chris, thoughts on Sensational Sherry?
Yeah, no, I never knew much about her or anything at all about her. Another great Dark Side of the Ring episode. This lady did it all, right? I mean, she managed what? DiBiase, Randy Savage. Yeah. She was an unbelievable wrestler. She took bumps that, like, kind of what we're seeing nowadays. These female wrestlers are taking crazy tosses out the ring, getting slammed on the concrete. Like, she definitely must have been in some pain, which obviously leads to everything else that we just finished talking about with drugs and drug addiction and stuff. But yeah, I was just shocked at how like talented she was just all around as a wrestler, as a promoter, as a manager. Like, she literally did it all and kind of revolutionized the, thank goodness she got that moolah. Get out of there, moolah, 50-something-year-old moolah. The time, you know what I mean? What the hell? Come on. So, no, it was good. It was a great episode.
Ed, thoughts on the episode?
Well, I thought it brought to light some things I didn't know about it. I'm going to piggyback on what Tom said. I did not realize that Jim Cornette was her first manager. And actually, that was one of Jim Cornette's first promos that he ever cut was with her. And she really was, she came from the Tennessee territory there for a while, where she connected with Macho Man. And I think the Macho Man, he did a lot to help her and kind of pull her along. She did go to the Fabulous Moolahs Wrestling School. And if I remember correctly, like she had to kick Moolah 25% of like the take and the booking. So, you know, and like to go down and then, you know, to see what she did with like Harlem Heat and what she did with Macho Man, you know, and some of the things that she did, you know, like the time when she was up on the cage and that type of thing with, you know, with the lingerie and stuff like that, kind of like the beginning of the Attitude Era and that type of thing. She definitely knew how to cut a promo, and she really was great. And it was just really sad, you know, like, you know, it just it's just a tale of the tape of all the wrestlers from that late 70s through the 80s and what happened to them all. So, you know, just incredible talent. But, you know, the personal life was a shit show.
Keith, do you remember Sherry Martel?
Yeah, I think the thing with her is, like, I mean, she trailblazed the way for all the women that are now in wrestling, right? Like, people don't realize, like, there's always that one person that you don't really remember, you don't know, but the reason that they're all doing that is because of her, right? She's the one that did it. And what surprised me about that show was how hard she had to work. Like, it because she was a woman during those times, and that wasn't a common thing, she had to work twice as hard. And I'm sure the even show is like how much she got pushed back and how much they probably, you know, it was hard for her to even get there. So I think that's pretty impressive. And, you know, of course, with all that hard work and, like you said, the injury, the pain and the drug, and it's just sad to see, like, you did all that work. You blazed the trail for all the women now, and then that's how it ends. Like, lonely, by yourself, drug addicted. And it's kind of sad, but I mean, that like Tom, you were saying, that's basically the that era was, or Brad, you said that whole era of wrestling was just, it's what it was. A lot of injuries, a lot of pain, drugs. I mean, that was just the lifestyle.
I know that.
The rock and roll lifestyle.
Also, just one last thing, and sorry, you know, just to see what she did when, you know, when Vince was cutting out the women's wrestling for it, you know, back there, she decided, hey, I could see that, you know, she read the tea leaves, and she's like, I'm going to become a manager full time. So to see her do that, and just as like what you guys said, to reiterate the point, like, man, she could cut a promo like nobody else, you know?
Hey, so real quick, before we move on from that, just, we always talk about, is somebody worthy of being in the Hall of Fame? Without a doubt, Hall of Famer. I that is 100%. If you're going to be a Hall of Famer, that Sherry is an epitome of what should be in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. And three, how many managers other than like a Bobby Heenan can say that? Look at the run that she had all in a row. She had Randy Savage right after Elizabeth left. She went to DiBiase. And she had Shawn Michaels in his first ever singles run after he left Marty Jannetty. So, I mean, not only is she a Hall of Famer, she managed three legit Hall of Famers. And, you know, it's the only manager that Shawn Michaels really ever had. And Ted DiBiase only really had. So, I mean, who better than her to be with those three guys? And, yeah, they kind of – if you look at the way they dolled her up, they kind of made her look – ugly when they didn't really have to, because she was really decent looking if they just let her be her. But that was that era of WWE and how it was. So let me cap it off with saying, great episode, true Hall of Fame of Sherry Martel. Speaking of wrestling, I'm going to segue this. Tony Khan at the NFL draft with the Bobby Heenan neck brace on. How do I start this other than to, I'm going to hand it to Bradford. Tell me what you thought, Brad.
I'm so over Tony Khan right now. Just pulling the Jack Perry and the Elite coming out. How many times have we seen a faction go after the corporate entity of a wrestling business? They're just pulling out the same. And for a company that claims not to invest in storylines, holy shit. They are starting to pull out the same storylines we've seen over and over and over again. But he got slammed. He got pile-drived or whatever they call it. And he comes out with a neck brace. I give it to him. He sold the shit out of it. I give it to him. And then he carried it on all through the draft. But then he goes on, I think it was ESPN. And he just started, I sent it to y'all on Instagram. He was talking all kinds of shit about WWE. And I don't mind the back and forth shit talking. I think it's great for business, if I'm being honest with you. I love that the wrestlers are chirping at each other, the you know, Tony Khan and Triple H. But Tony Khan, TK, man, it's frustrating sometimes. So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
is my little segue into the NFL draft to let you guys start talking a little football. Chris, want to bring it in a little bit?
About the draft?
Well, Tony Khan and then the draft.
Oh, my boy needs a haircut. That's all I have to say about that. That yes, he is looking ridiculous. That's good enough for me.
Thomas, let's bring it in.
Well, you know what? In the end, he got what he wanted because they mentioned AEW on the NFL Network to talk about. They actually mentioned it and mentioned them. So, I mean, he got what he wanted. He got a few people talking about him, I guess. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know, that they're never going to go out of business because their family's got so much money, but they may run out of TV. They may lose their TV deal if they don't pick things up, in my eyes, anyway.
So let's bring it into the draft. What'd you guys think on the draft?
It's not bad. I mean, with the exception, I mean, I don't know if it was a record, but six of the first 12 picks were quarterbacks. So, I mean, that's got to be pretty close to a record if it wasn't. But, I mean, all the picks pretty much went the way they were expected, except for Atlanta, kind of out of nowhere, picks Michael Penix. And when they already just signed Kirk Cousins to what it was, I have
$87 million contract.
Yeah, and if his contract, the way it works, he's getting paid $62.5 million in 2024 alone. And if they cut him before the 2025 season, he gets another $40 million. So I mean, this might work out good for him because I mean,
he has the best agent in sports. That absolutely. Guy has the best agent in sports. Good Lord.
As far as who I thought picked well, I mean, I thought the Bears did really well with their two picks, Caleb Williams and Rome Adunze. The team I didn't really understand was Buffalo trading out of the first because they got rid of Diggs and they let Davis go. So, I mean, they did pick the wide receiver from Florida State with the first pick in the second round today. But, I mean, they need some weapons for Josh Allen. But and then the Chiefs, they may have lucked out. They got Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver who set the record at the combine for the fastest 40 ever, but they had problems with drops this year as a team, and that was one of his biggest problems with Texas was drops. So, I mean, it could be a great pick. It could be another bust, but they kind of had to go that way because Rashee Rice is probably going to get suspended for, I don't know, they say multiple games for being dumb and drag racing on the highway and crashing, but It's going pretty much as expected. I've been kind of keeping an eye on the draft as we've been talking, and there really hasn't been any major surprises in the second round yet. Well, actually, they're in the third round.
Speaking of surprises, Ed, what's your thought on the draft?
Oh, my God. To agree with Tom, I really think that it went as planned, on exception of Atlanta. You know, there's a reason why you lost 28-3 with 8 minutes left in the third quarter. Come on now. I mean, you have you're paying a quarterback all that type of money, and then you draft him. This has nothing to do with Michael Penix at all. I think he's a great talent. I think he's a great quarterback. I mean, and on top of that, I'm sitting on my couch in an apartment. So anyway, that being said, you know, what's that, Mel?
No, you don't say.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Funny story. No. Anyway, but I mean, I will say that it was good to see the Patriots pick an actual quarterback that could actually play. So that was good. They picked up an offensive lineman, you know, and we'll see what the draft kind of – I don't like how they do it in two nights anymore. I feel like that they can do it in one day.
Actually, and, it's three now. It's three going –
it's yeah, all they're weekend. Only doing –
yeah, that – yeah.
I mean, and the thing about it is I said, gee, what a coincidence that it fit in that whole time slot to end 5 minutes early before 11 o'clock last night.
Yeah.
You know? Well. For entertainment purposes only, allegedly.
Keith, did you watch any of that draft?
The Atlanta thing was hysterical. I mean, how could you not laugh? Buffalo trading away is just another joke that Buffalo just can't get out of their own way. But that's okay. They'll continue to be losers, and that's fine. I mean, but I did it was interesting. I mean, all the quarterbacks being taken was wild because I honestly don't think there's – three good quarterbacks going to ever come out of this draft. I really don't. I think that a lot of them are overrated. Everybody needed a quarterback so bad. They were just desperate. And I think guys went higher than they should have. I think JJ McCarthy, believe it or not, I think he's going to be one of those sneaky quarterbacks. He's not going to be like that superstar guy, but he's going to be a consistent, steady guy. I like what the Patriots did. I got a kick out of Belichick, absolutely just criticizing that pick and just running it down, just tearing him apart, basically. And he didn't say he wouldn't be good. He just said right now he's got some flaws. But and I think Arizona was a big winner. I think Marvin Harrison is going to be an absolute. I get chance. I've seen him here. I've seen him play. It's the guy's ridiculous. He's electric. He is going to be good for Arizona, whether the quarterback is any good. But yeah, it's got to be some good players. But I don't know. I think Chris quarterback over way overrated on quarterbacks this year.
So, oh, go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to say, JJ McCarthy landed in the perfect spot because Minnesota's loaded with weapons for him. So he doesn't have to
Loaded.
go out and force things. He's got so many good weapons for him. So he landed in the perfect spot.
Yep.
But I
And he's
agree
got a good
with.
quarterback. Yeah, coach knows how to groom quarterbacks too. That helps, you know,
Absolutely.
with
And
all
I.
those weapons. So it's, I mean, that's kind of like a plug and play situation for him, you know.
I've got to say, Belichick surprised me. He was really good with. He was on the Pat McAfee simulcast last night, and I really thought he did really well. I mean, he criticized the Patriots the pick, but he was criticizing everybody. I mean, so I kind of thought it was
Doesn't like
refreshing for
anybody.
hearing all these guys. All they do is talk about how great these guys are going to be. At least he was bringing up showing some of their flaws.
Chris, do you have anything to add from the NFL draft?
Well, I'll just touch on, since nobody else did, about the Patriots quarterback Drake May. Like the guy's size, speed. He likes to compare himself to Josh Allen, which I don't think that's a good idea,
Ooh.
but he's gonna make himself look stupid when he comes up, possibly. Let's see what happens. But I mean, they need a quarterback, so what the hell, right? I think that's the best thing they could have done. So
So speaking about losers, somebody that we didn't talk about the last couple of weeks is Orenthal James Simpson. And it's time to talk about OJ Nordberg for you people in the know for the Naked Gun franchise. Here's a guy that when I was a kid was like, as much as him and Bruce Jenner were like Americana. They were on the Wheaties boxes, the Hertz rent-a-car guy. I mean, OJ Simpson was on so many TV shows. He made public appearances. He was like running for office. And what ended up happening after all this time? Who knows? What a life, what a story. And we're going to segue that right into our favorite segment, Thomas. Get out the tinfoil hat because it's time for Bradford to take this one home. Go ahead, Brad.
man, I've been
Orenthal
waiting on this.
James.
I've been chomping on it for weeks. OJ, one of the greatest running backs that ever lived. The Naked Gun franchise, one of the greatest comedy franchises that ever was. Let's put it there. But do not forget, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Okay? That whole investigation was botched from the get-go. When you watch the documentary, the LAPD botched it from start to finish. So many questions, so many conspiracies just around the investigation itself. The big one that's popped up, Ed sent me a little reel, or kind of was already kind of like, well, I'm already on that one, man. I'm like down the rabbit hole. Their freaking gardener for the Simpsons was none other than Glenn Rogers, who was known as a freaking serial killer, y'all. Now, how you gonna tell me you employ a serial killer gardener? Obviously, if you're serial killing and you're doing it correctly, they don't know that you're a serial killer. But how can I, when we started this whole conspiracy thing, I was like, let's look at coincidences. Like, when there's the coincidences are too big to ignore. This coincidence is too big. It's blinding. You cannot ignore the fact that this guy who claimed to have killed 70 people was in OJ's backyard. And so the story is that OJ kind of knew this guy was up to no good and asked him to go in and like steal some jewelry or something from Nicole. The dude goes in and there's a robbery gone bad and he kills her and then, you know, whatever. So that's the conspiracy. I'm sticking to it. The other ones out there is that he was under mind control from the Illuminati and the MK Ultra experiments. Maybe you believe that. I think the serial killer is a little more believable. That's the one that I'm kind of leaning towards. I think whether OJ planned it, put him up to it or not, I think the serial killer got Nicole. OJ took the fall, kind of. I mean, the glove didn't fit. It wasn't OJ. So I say have the serial killer try on the glove. And if it fits, he's guilty. Period. Case closed. I just solved the case. Boom.
Thomas, you either for it or against it. We're going to go to you.
I'm not saying he's wrong. There's also another conspiracy that OJ's son did it.
Yep.
And OJ's covering for him. So I think it's one of the two.
Make his son try on the glove.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm just going to pass on all that, man. I have nothing to say.
Ed, what's this infamous reel you're sending to Bradford?
Oh, no, it was the whole thing about the serial killer. That's what I sent it to him. And so, I thought it was pretty interesting. I know that that's right up Brad's alley. I will say that, I have seen one of the crime scene photos of what did happen to Nicole Brown Simpson. That does not look like somebody that was a weak person that did that to her. Because let's just say it was one hell of a cut that was made. And so I don't know. I mean, I think that the serial killer kind of fits the bill a little bit more than anything else. But there's only one of us here on the panel that's ever done any type of crime scene investigation, and that is not.
Oh,
okay. I thought you were going to say something else, and we were front row.
Jeez. Somebody that cannot pass a Corey check on this podcast. Chris is laughing. It's always the guilty ones that are laughing. Thomas, let's bring this home. Let's talk some albums.
Alrighty. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, which is located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass. You can also visit them online at purchasestrecords.com or on their Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
All right, so we're going to wrap this up. We're going to do some shout-outs, and we're going to finish this episode for the week. So we're going to start with Ed. Ed, what do you got this week?
Well, I'm going to give a shout-out to my boy that I went to college with, Mr. J.J. Rudin, and I let him know I hope he's having a wonderful time at the draft all weekend long in Detroit.
Very good. Two-time podcasting guest, Keith Hammond from the great state of Ohio. Keith, what do you got?
I got two shout-outs. I got one to O.J., but come on, does anybody done more for the Ford Bronco than O.J. Simpson?
Bro.
Right? I mean, come on. Number two, I'm going to shout out Ellie De La Cruz of the Cincinnati Reds. This guy is electric. If you don't watch it, this guy is unreal. Every night, he's got 17 stolen bases already this year. The guy's an absolute animal on the base pass. He has got so much talent, and he's, 21 years old, 22 years old. So give a shout out to them. Watch him if you haven't. The guy's electric. That's all I got.
Chris.
I got nothing. I had a very boring week. Nothing exciting going on here, so.
We can hear it in the voice. We can see the passion. We can hear the passion. We know all about it.
Still waiting for my ice cream.
We're gonna reverse this and send it to Bradford so Brad can get the hot tag and bring one home. Let's go, Brad.
I want to shout out Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. Not only do we not address a single need through three rounds of the draft so far, any available talent that we could have took in these three rounds is off the board. All in, fellas. We are all in, according to Jerry, and I applaud them. I'm excited. No, actually, I'm not. You know what Lucas told me the other day? He said, Dad, the Rangers won a World Series. Mississippi State and Ole Miss won back-to-back baseball national championships since I've been alive. He's only 8. He goes, but the Cowboys haven't done anything. I was like, bro. You're only eight, man. You got your whole life to be disappointed. So here we go. Not looking forward to this season. What's the next team I could? Detroit. We have similar colors. I'm going to cheer for Detroit. I'm upset.
Thomas, what do you got?
Awesome shout out. Awesome.
I want to give a shout out to our old friend, Hav. I know him and his family, they're having a tough one today. It's a tough day for them. Just want to let them know we're thinking of them.
Very good. And I think on that, we should end this week. That was a great shout out. Bunch of good ones. Keith's all blurred out. And we're going to just wrap this up. I want to say thanks to Keith for coming on two times, getting to be a pro. And we'll see everybody next week. Later, fellas.
See you.